Welcome back to the Partido podcast, the English-speaking podcast about all things Atleti. We're here to talk about quite a crazy week that Atleti had. Started off very well with a convincing win against Celta Vigo, a 4-1 win in the Metropolitano. But everything went downhill from there with a loss away against Bayer Leverkusen in the Champions League. And then, of course, all the craziness that happened in the media and eventually the Madrid derby that Atleti lost at home 2-1. We're here to talk about it all. And here with me to talk about it is Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel, we all know the kind of sick, twisted nihilism you can spit out after Atleti lose a game that even Nietzsche would be proud of. So please, let's start this episode cheerfully, and then you can proceed however you would like. So, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm in a positive mood today, despite the defeat. Well, Atleti's performances were not that bad, so I think I'm doing better than Atleti's home kit.
Yeah, very well. So, yeah. And of course, hope you guys don't mind it too much, but we both are obviously kind of sick, so it's clear in the voice, so hopefully it doesn't bother you guys too much. Right from the top, right from where we left off, the game against Celta Vigo. Emmanuel, please give us your thoughts about that game.
Well, I would say that's Atleti's best performance with the ball this season. Atleti did well against Getafe and they scored 3 goals. Yes, they scored 4 goals against Celta. That doesn't imply them scoring 4 goals meant maybe that's the reason, but no, Atleti used the ball really well. They were able to retain possession in key moments to calm down the game because you know Celta Vigo, they are like the high press, quick game, fast football, but Atleti were able to take away that threat. So Celta did have some chances, and those chances came from errors. And, well, like I tweeted after the Leverkusen game, Emoso and Felipe have improved, but it seems the level at which Atleti is not really maybe for them at the moment, because despite their improvement, you know for every good thing they do, you have an error waiting to be occurred. It's like there are mistakes working on the pitch, and that was the case against Celta for Emoso and also against Leverkusen. But for the Celta game, it was really nice. And I think that was one of Rodrigo Depor's best games for Atleti. When I say best game, he has had good games for Atleti, especially at the start of last season. But this time around, he was good on with and without the ball. In the case that when Atleti were not in possession, you don't have him switching off and you have maybe Celta using the advantage and making runs into the half space and him not being able to track his runners. But he was great, and that's great seeing that from him. And that game was just perfect because Atleti were the definition of clinical. I think 4 shots on target and 4 goals speaks a lot, even though there were some deflected efforts in it. But overall, I like the game. And I think the game kind of gave a sense into the evolution of Cholo we have been seeing. Kind of high press, limits the opposition, winning the ball back up the pitch, what we saw against Getafe, and we're kind of excited. But there were glimpses of it against Celta, and we really used the ball well. And I will not go too maybe that deep into the game, because if I want to maybe give a lot of analysis and reason, it may take the whole podcast, which is not great, but that game was just fantastic because the way Atleti are using the ball is improving, and which is something I'm so happy with. And that's down to the recruitment of Vitzel and also having Koke in midfield, because it kind of gives you a mini sense of the team that won La Liga not so long ago.
Very well. So obviously we just said it, but the Celta game was an amazing game, the best game of the season. Everything went downhill for Atleti afterwards. What is it that made the performance against Celta very good, and what went wrong against Leverkusen after that?
To be honest, I don't see a lot of difference between the performance against Celta and the performance against Leverkusen, because Atleti really kind of used the ball well, and true, there were mistakes, but the difference is the game against Leverkusen kind of punished Atletico's mistakes, and in the game against Leverkusen, Atleti did not have that a lot of impact in the final third, and the difference between both games is simple. Thomas Lemar. You have the game against Celta, you have Lemar, he's the link between the attack and the defense, and he's the one switching play for the first goal, and you have him dropping deep into those pockets of spaces, receiving the ball and able to progress the ball and also have an impact in the final third for Atleti. But against Leverkusen, we did not have that. We had Joao Felix dropping deep to receive the ball and that kind of isolated Morata and kind of take away the threat Atleti had in the attack. But in the second half against Leverkusen, when Griezmann came on, you kind of saw that link up play between him and Felix, and it was like things were about to occur, and then Cholo's substitution just killed the game for Atleti. So the two games, I would say, the decision, Cholo's decisions, especially with substitution, and we also had Lema, because Lema is an important piece in Atleti's game at the moment, in which when he is there and when he is not there, you kind of see two versions of Atleti. An Atleti that cannot impact the game, Atleti that face difficulties in breaking down the opposition, and Atleti that has a lot of difficulties in breaking down defenses. I think we talked about this last season when he had a lot of injury, and that is something which is coming on, because you kind of have him, someone who is able to progress the ball and easily release the ball. That is, he does the kind of job which Felix and Griezmann both do, but in deeper areas, that allows both players to be up the pitch and able to impact the game. But without him, we kind of lost that, and that is what happened in the game against Leverkusen, because in my opinion, Atleti had a very good game, but the individual mistakes were what killed Atleti. But Atleti made those same individual mistakes in the Celta game, but the difference was we were punished, and in the other game, we were not punished.
Yeah, I mean, we talked in the last episode about what the best midfield trio that Atleti could have at the moment, and it's becoming increasingly difficult to decide with each passing match, because there hasn't been a lot of consistency out of the players. We've seen Lemar performing well in plenty of matches, but we've seen him being very poor as well. De Paul obviously had a fantastic masterclass against Celta. Obviously, we didn't see that in a lot of other matches. There's Koke, which who also is struggling a bit this season. Kondogbia, who we'll talk about thoroughly when we discuss the Derby game. And of course, Saul, who had a great performance against Porto, but hasn't started since. How would you update your answer from last time regarding the best midfield that Atleti could have at the moment?
So my midfield three, I think I go with what we had in the Derby: Colombia, Koke, and De Paul. That's because I think that midfield has the potential to, I think, dominate most midfields in La Liga, and also they can suffer, like, help defensively, and with the ball, they are good. So that's what I go for. And the issue is, I think Llorente at the moment, it's not really effective with him playing as an interior, because you don't have the Trippier-like profile behind him, and that's Molina, because there are a lot of similarities between him and Molina in the way they attack the space, in the way they arrive waiting for a pass. And if you play Llorente at right back, there are other ways in which you can get the best out of him, like what Cholo has done a couple of times, like what Lucho has done in the national team. And you kind of have him playing as the right back or the right wing back, and you have in the interior space, you have somebody who is good at passing the ball to space, in this case, De Paul. So far this season, we have seen a lot of that happen, because in the game against Real Sociedad, you have him creating a chance for Felix, and sadly, the cross was good, but not the best. And Felix could not arrive there, and it was De Paul playing in behind. And that's not just the single location. You have the same thing in the Derby, him linking up with De Paul so well, because De Paul is a good passer of the ball, and you have Llorente, someone who's good at attacking space. So my midfield three: Koke, De Paul, and Colombia. That's given the fact that Witzel doesn't have the license to come to midfield due to this injuries we have at the moment in the center back position.
Yeah, but hopefully we'll have Savage and Jimenez back after the international break is over. So I really, really hope we see Witzel playing as a defensive midfielder against against Sevilla. Of course, another return from injury is Reguilón, and he'll be available for the first time this season. So we'll see who start. I mean, considering Carrasco hasn't had the best start. I mean, I'm being very nice right here. He didn't have a good start to the season. So yeah, we'll see if Reguilón starts ahead of him. Anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Let's talk about the derby. What are your thoughts about the home loss against Real Madrid at Emmanuel?
Well, from a neutral's point of view, it was a fantastic game because I kind of had a lot of feedback and I think many people enjoyed the game, and it's been a while. I think I've seen people enjoying the Madrid derby from neutrals, and that was kind of great for La Liga. But as an Atleti fan, to be honest, I take a 1-0 shithouse victory all day long. So losing was not a great, and Cholo really felt frustrated because he really wanted to win this, and him starting Griezmann kind of gave a hint that maybe he went against the wishes of the board, because I think the lineup showed that he was hungry to win this one, but it wasn't the best. And talking about the derby, I think any stages of the game we started very well, but the issue for Atleti is the pressing. I think the pressing has improved all game long, but we had Felix, I think his pressing is not really the best, because I think Luis Enrique said something that my attackers are the first line of defense. So we have a guy like Felix and him trying to press, not knowing the right space to cover, and it's kind of affecting. We have kind of affected the press as Real Madrid easily were found finding Tchouaméni easily, and that kind of break the first line of pressure, and we are easily pushed back. And that was really, really bad for Atleti, because I think even for the goal, you have Depol kind of pointing to Carrasco or maybe cover Tchouaméni. But the issue in that situation, in my opinion, is the fact that Depol is already on cruise, and you have Felix kind of bending his run, trying to press Carvajal. But he is not aware that someone is using covering Cruz, because he's trying to block a pass to Cruz, and in doing so, you have a channel and a free pass to Tchouaméni, and the rest is history. So the derby was great, and Atleti used the ball, like I said, they used the ball well, and you had so many guys saying, wow, Atleti trying to retain the ball and the rest. But to be honest, I like the performance from the team, because the team gave it all, and like I said before, in the Celta game and in the Leverkusen game, you have those individual errors. Those are the errors that I think are preventing Atleti from being in the title race, maybe up to April. Those are the errors that are making Atleti to make things difficult for themselves, because no matter what they do, very good with on the pitch, that's with the ball or without the ball, you just have those moments of lapses in concentration or errors where you kind of have the opposition hitting you. And in the case of Real Madrid, you had two occasions, and what happens? The headers. You had Felipe not tracking runners on both goals, and that was kind of bad, because for the first goal he decided to go for a karate kick, and he missed the ball, and oof, Rodrigo punished us. And for the second, didn't track the run of Vinicius, and the rest was just a bit. Like I said, he has improved, and his performances are not bad, but the errors in his game are, like I said, mistakes just waiting to happen. And given my criticism of Felix's pressing, I think that's something he has to improve, because I think that is the reason why he wasn't starting games for a couple of time, because you put Cunha or you put Correa in that place, those are players who are excellent at pressing, not just because they are aggressive, but they are intelligent in doing so, and they know the type of space to block and how to put the defensive midfielder in the cover shadow. Because with Atleti's pressing with the front two is not something which is new, because with the 4-4-2 it is something same, and something Griezmann is already used to that, because we know you have to shield the ball into midfield and force the play out wide. But against Real Madrid, it was easy to find Tchouaméni, and then a switch of play to Mendy, and you have already been pushed back. So the derby, I like the performance, but those mistakes are what are keeping Atleti from going that extra mile or maybe having a good season and making things difficult for themselves.
Yeah, we saw mistakes from Kondogbia in that game. We saw mistakes from, obviously, Felipe, who we'll go in depth about right now. I mean, we'll talk about the circus and the clown show that preceded the derby in a minute. But Felipe looked at that and rose to the occasion and really made a clown of himself out there. Real Madrid were targeting him all night, and it paid off. I think he made a mistake in both of the goals that that Real Madrid scored. So you just look at him and you're wondering, what the hell happened to the Felipe that Atleti had in the 2019-2020 season? I mean, since then, he's been regressing more and more. And right now, you just look at him and you wonder, how is this guy a professional footballer?
Yeah, like you just said, same question I was asking myself when I was watching the game before. When I was watching the game again before we recorded the episode, and I was like, what happened to the Felipe that did so well until he earned a call up to the Brazilian national team? And I was like, what? Because, for example, he doesn't add a lot to the team on the ball because he's not as good on the ball or composed on the ball like, say, Hermoso. But he's how will I say, he's just like his mojo. What he was good at is being good defensively. That's why Atleti bought him for Porto. That's why Atleti bought him at the time for a record fee of a defender. But it's like everything has gone down here. I don't just understand what is happening. Or maybe it's due to the fact that Atleti are defending higher up the pitch. But it's just like, it's like a switch off. Those are the type of things, like you are saying the boy has turned to a man, but now you are saying the man has turned to a boy. Those type of things. But it's just shocking because the type of errors he made, those are like basic defensive errors. Tracking a runner, not switching off, knowing when to delay your run, knowing when to enter the challenge. And well, the errors are just so much. And like I said before, it is really hurting the team. I don't know what happened to him, because it's not that he started this season. This is things which he started two seasons ago, and he has been on a decline. And I was here and I on the show, and I said I need to give him a contract extension. It's not good. It's true, he is good with the backroom stuff and it kind of improves the team's morale, but when he's on the pitch and he makes such mistakes and he costs the team, that is not great. And I think today the board came and said they have a news coming out that the board said they made a mistake with the squad planning. And I think Felipe is one of them. It's true, he has a good footballing story in how he faced difficulties and rise up to the challenge. But at the moment, I don't think he's at the level of an Atleti defender. I know it's harsh to say, but let's face facts. Let's be real here. He's really been poor. Like you said, he made a clown of himself. It's like you have clips in which I think La Liga official account posted on Twitter in which he's entering recklessly into a tackle and you have him being on mech. So it's just really, really bad at the moment. And it's not really at something at the moment, but it's bad for a while now. And I think the team needed changes. And I don't understand what the board and Barta did over the summer, but keeping Felipe is like costing the team points and games. I'm not saying he's the sole, but his mistakes have cost the team so many at the moment points. It was the same against Leverkusen and it was the same in the derby, which is really bad.
Very well. There's the news Ruben Oria reported today that apparently Atletico Madrid are aware that the squad planning for this season was not good and that they must go in the transfer market in the winter. So it's great that they finally realized that. I mean, it's kind of disappointing that they didn't notice this just a little bit sooner when the summer transfer window was still open. But hey, I mean, at least they realized that eventually. Anyway, obviously, Atleti need to strengthen the, of course, the defense, more central defenders. A defensive midfielder would be nice if, of course, they don't sign one, considering Witzel could cover that position, but obviously he's forced to play as a center back. And we'll discuss, what changes we'd like to see in the squad more thoroughly in the future. Of course, there was also news yesterday that Atleti are already working on getting a center back for next season, while trying to offload Hermoso. Obviously, Felipe will be gone after his contract expires. So, at least there's something to look forward to for next summer. But personally, I think Atleti need two center backs for next season. And of course, there's also news that broke out today that we'll get to at the end of today's episode. Now let's discuss the events leading up to the Madrid Derby. Obviously, there was an interview that Koke had, and one of the questions he answered was about Vinicius Jr. Celebrating in front of the Atletico Madrid fans in the Metropolitano by dancing. And Koke answered with there will be issues if he does that. Obviously, what he meant that the fans wouldn't be very happy about him doing it. And obviously, he didn't say anything racist. He didn't say anything controversial. He's just pretty much saying the obvious, that the fans aren't going to be happy about Vinicius dancing in front of them if he scores, obviously. But everyone took that comment out of context and, you know, started criminalizing Koke and dehumanizing the poor man. And it was just a disgrace to see, like I said, an absolute circus. Obviously, El Chiringuito getting what they wanted, and of course, many clicks and many people talking about it, which is the point of their existence, really. But unfortunately, that led to a lot of, you know, unfortunate events. Obviously, there was the racist remarks we saw from the from some of the Atletico Madrid fans ahead of the match, and of course Atleti did make a statement about those fans, that they identified them and banned them from the stadium, or they are no longer socios at the club. But it's just really disappointing what we saw. And of course, that ruined the moment for the legend that is Koke. This match was his record tying match. He now has played as many matches as Edelardo for Atletico Madrid. And he's now the player with the most appearances for the team. Another special thing that this match had was that Simeone broke the Luis Aragonés record, and now he's now the coach that coached Atleti the most in the most matches in the history of the club. So, Emmanuel, what do you like to say about all of those things that I just mentioned?
Well, the first thing is, recently, I think in football, you have this argument of, like, there's not a lot of fun in the game. You don't have dribblers like Ronaldinho before. You don't have players like Neymar and being protected by the ref. And it's like, those type of things are like, you have taken the form out of the game, and you have like maybe patterns of play, pass, and you arrive at the goal, those type of things. So I think that was what played into, like you said, El Chicharito's hands, and they kind of used that, because that kind of tear up everything. Because you have them saying, like, okay, action that, like, just like what you said, that him scoring and maybe celebrating his dance celebration won't go well with the fans, and you are like, everything goes out of context, and it's like, Koke is saying Vinicius dances is not maybe acceptable, and you have a lot of people on Twitter, I think, be very good accounts that post with very good content that I respect, and I was like kind of shocked, because they just believe what they have seen and what they have heard without really verifying. And it was really shocking, because despite my efforts trying to maybe bring things, you have them like supporting Vinicius all the time, and it was really frustrating, because El Chicharito really, I would say, they won this one, because that was really bad. And they are the ones that kind of stir up everything, and I'm not defending the Atleti fans for being racist, but that it came as a result of that, because it's like Atleti fans are feeling that due to a certain player, and they have painted their captain and, in my opinion, one of the best players, if not the best player, and it is still very bad. And that kind of stir up things, and you have this section of Atleti fans, like, which are, like, they always behave in a type of way. I will not say defend, that's basically defending, but not all of them, but that was the case. And the kind of doing racist stuff, which was not good, because at that moment, I really felt bad. I felt ashamed being an Atleti fan and seeing my so-called, I would say, colleagues or maybe fellow supporters behaving in such a way, given I am African and that's really bad. So the media kind of did everything, and not that also played into the fact that you have Spanish history, racism and the rest. So that was quite bad, and the club reacted, but I think their reaction wasn't maybe on time or great. So it's kind of sad because you expected more from the club, and you also expected more from the club. Firstly, I expected more from them in defending Koki, but you have players like Raul Garcia, even Athletic Club, are the ones trying to defend Koki, and it was just a mess. And you also have them dealing with the racist stuff, which was kind of lead, which was also a mess. So I think it just goes to show how bad management and Athletic has been, and that just summarizes everything. And hopefully La Liga maybe can improve their sanction when it comes to racism and race, because they have been really lax in it. I remember Iñaki Williams being racially abused at Espanyol, and it just kind of went under the bus. And so there are a lot of things that need to improve in football, because you have people who say it's a sport and all the things, but those are sports that also impact our daily lives, and there are people that have role models and they can't behave in a certain way. So it was really bad seeing Koki being in such a situation and being able to enjoy his moment, given that he became the all-time record for appearance for Alitia, and also has Simeone also overtaking this Aragonese. So that was supposed to be a day that both of them were supposed to enjoy, but the media kind of turned everything and all the attention was focused on the wrong thing due to the misleading information shared by the media.
Very well. Okay, moving on. Let's stop talking about the derby, which was, you know, kind of depressing, to be honest. I mean, although, like you mentioned, it was a decent performance from Atleti, just didn't have the final touch until Hermoso unintentionally did have the final touch. I mean, just make him a striker already. I mean, the man can't defend, he can pass, kind of, and you know, every once in a while he gets a fluke goal, so if we can get the best out of that, it'll be great. Anyway, moving on, let's start talking about the Sevilla game. Sevilla haven't had a very good start to the season, and obviously that's not something to rely on, considering Leverkusen got their first win of the season against Atletico. So a very important match for Atletico. And Emmanuel, what are your thoughts and expectations for the game?
Well, firstly, I think Atleti are better off than Sevilla at the moment. But like you said, Leverkusen kind of used Atleti to kickstart their season. So I will not be surprised if something else happened. But I expect Atleti to win that game because we have not won in a while. I think we have not won since 2017 there, which this man had a feast and he was probably having one of his best players as an Atleti player. So, talking about Sevilla, they have lost two of their best defensive partners, and that has kind of affected them because you have him playing a lot of academy players. You have academy player playing there, and you also have a new signing from Bayern Munich, I think Niazu, I hope I pronounced that right, playing there as well. So there are a lot of things which is not going right for them at the moment. And you also have the midfield area, because to be honest, Sevilla are one of the most pragmatic. They are, I think, one of the highest team that they are pragmatic in the way they play, because despite the fact that they have a lot of the ball, they are very conservative in how they use it. But that's not been the case this season, because they have not been really good at using the ball. And if memory serves me right, the last two performances at the Ramos Sanchez people against Aditi, I think they kind of defended for their lives, and Aditi were kind of unlucky not to at least leave there with the point most of the time, or even with the victory. So that kind of says how the game is going to go. I don't expect Sevilla to play like how they have been doing recent season. It's true they will want to maybe try to dominate the ball, but I think they'll be wary of the Aditi's, the threat Aditi has on the counter, and they may be sick of, given that they are going through a poor patch, and Aditi also improving how they are using the ball. I expect us to win that game, to be honest, because like I just mentioned, Sevilla are struggling, but you know, it is football and it's tough to predict what to happen. So I'm hoping that all our little players are back fit, and like we have, if Lema is for that game, then that's super great. And if we have Savage and Jimenez 100% fit, then we can have Vitor and Miffy, and I'm super confident that we can go there and we can put in a great show and really, really come out with a very good result, because you have Aliti have players who can score goals, and you have Sevilla who have players who, not that they can't score goals, but they are not that clinical in front of goal, because you have the likes of Enesiri, you have Rafa Mir, who almost came to Aliti. Thank God that we didn't. We almost entered the train, and most Aliti fans were hype, and I was one of them. Thank God we didn't do that. But those are players that they are struggling in front of goal, and Sevilla as a whole is also struggling to create chances. They just had their first win against Espanyol, in which they were like 3-0 and it ended 3-2. So it shows you how weak they are defensively. So if Aliti can maybe capitalize on that, then I think we can go to the Ramos Sanchez Pican, and why not have a repeat of the 5-1 we had the last time we won there. So I'm very optimistic for that because of Aliti's performances, and also for the news we have been getting in training with the likes of Lemar, Jimenez, Savage, that they are making their return, which is very positive for Cholo and also for how the team wants to approach that game.
Yeah, I mean, just to mention that real quick, it was a 5-2 and not a 5-1 last time. Nolito did get a meaningless goal at the end, but it doesn't matter. Yeah,
for fuck's sake, your memory is better than mine, I think.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Anyway, I mentioned that Reguilón will be available to use for Cholo for the first time, hopefully this season against Sevilla. Would you start him straight away? Would you replace Carrasco with him right from the get-go?
Well, I think we have discussed this before, but you know I'm not a huge fan of Aliti bringing in Reguilón. I know he was a good player while he was at Sevilla, and there are some qualities that he has that can maybe take the team, that can maybe advance the team, or maybe give Carrasco a shake-up, given he's maybe comfortable knowing he's the only option there. But him starting, I think that would be kind of surprise. That would be a surprise because given how Cholo is, kind of ease people into the team unless there's no one to play in that position. And I would love to have Carrasco in 1v1s against the right back of Sevilla, because you have Carmona playing there unless Lopetegui decides to play Navas there. So I would love to have Carrasco there, but if Reguilón starts, that's understandable, because I think we will see something similar to what Lodi does, and him able to arrive in the final third and play this switch to him. So I think if he starts, good. If he doesn't start, good. But I'm not really for the fact that he should start, because I kind of like what I've seen in the current trend and the current team, and having Carrasco there, I think he will improve despite the fact that he's having an erratic start to the season.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that he will improve eventually, and we've seen it happen many times with Carrasco. But until then, until he hits form, I don't mind seeing Reguilón playing. It'll just depend on how fit Cholo sees him in training, how fast he adapts to the team ideas, and yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see what Simeone decides. Anyway, last and definitely not least, or in Emmanuel's case, definitely least, we're going to talk about rumors that came out today that linked Atleti with, out of all the people, Gerard Piqué from FC Barcelona. According to Okidiario, I think, that Simeone wants him to be signed in January. He will be, I think, he will arrive for free, and Atleti will use this as a bargaining chip that Barcelona are struggling with wages, and especially Piqué's wages. So if Atleti, I think, get him for free and free them from the wage problem, then maybe Barcelona will lower their demands for Griezmann. Obviously, the negotiations between Barcelona and Atletico Madrid are ongoing to find a solution for the problem that's locked Griezmann to the bench this season. We've only seen him play 30 minutes each game, except against Real Madrid. I mean, for what I've got to say now, we forgot to talk about, we forgot to say it when we talked about the derby, but I think Griezmann had a fantastic game against Real Madrid. I think he was Atleti's best player on the pitch. So obviously Atleti don't want to pay more than 25 million, I think. The fee being talked about at the moment is between 20 and 25 million, which is much lower than the 40 million that Atleti would have to pay if he plays a certain number of games. Anyway, back to Piqué. Emmanuel, do you think he could be a stopgap solution for the rest of the season if he's signed in January? And what's your opinion about this potential signing?
Nah, not Piqué, no. just kidding. Referring to the Griezmann, like you said, best player on the pitch, and hopefully I would love for us to shit house our way to signing him. But that is detrimental to us. He has to play many games because he's that good. And coming back to Piqué, as for Piqué, well, I think Piqué can be a good short-term solution, but I think we allow the board to get away with this over and over again. This is an opportunity for the board to bring in players that will suit in the long term, not bringing in someone that is going to come for a short gap. Because with Aleti and the Cholo era, or maybe with the MS, Gil and Carrasco, Cerezo, and under Cholo era, what we have is so many short circuit projects. We have each, like almost after 2 years, we have like him coming in for the short term and then someone comes in for the long term, but we never see someone comes in for the long term. These guys keep on getting away with this, and this is an opportunity for them to build a good squad, because they are like, yes, we have realized we do not build a good squad, and now it's time for us to make things up. But what happens? They go back to themselves, and I just did that today, and I was like, well, that's good that they have realized, but how will they recruit? And you already have the beginnings coming up, and I'm like, oh, God, these guys, they never change. Because, take for example, Aleti are now defending a little bit higher on the pitch, and we are playing against Aleti Club, Bilbao, which will obviously have much of the game they have. And imagine Iñaki, or maybe Nico Williams in the full race against Piqué. For fuck's sake, what happens? So, in my opinion, despite the as romantic as the deal can be, I still believe in the Griezmann case, we have an upper hand, and if we play our cards right, we can get a better deal. So, and for example, there were links with the fact that Aleti are close to agreeing a pre-contract with Soyuncu of Leicester City, who will become a free agent, you know, summer. These are the type of deals Aleti should be going for. Because it's true, we need a solution in January, but they need to play the cards right. We don't want to end up with another Daniel Wass problem. For example, Wass came and luckily we were safe from it because he was like homesick and he wanted to go back. But we don't want to be stuck in that problem where in the kind of, we arrive at the summer, we have given him a 1.5 year contract, and we want to now strengthen the team, and it's like, well, he did not do well from January to June, and now we have to replace him. So it's like we are shooting ourselves in the foot over and over again. I think I recorded a podcast with them on Emiliano Adas and Molo Josimo, as we know him on Twitter, about the mismanagement of Aleti, and this just goes to show how bad they are and how they have really let Cholo down in recent seasons. Because I failed to mention this, but in the derby after the game, you have Cholo kind of envying the way Real Madrid play. Despite the fact that Aleti's performance was a good bet, that is how he wants to play. But he knows the players he has at his disposal can't play the style he wants to play. That goes to the fact that they are kind of letting him down, because they are not bringing in the players that is going to suit his idea. It's like they are just recruiting for recruiting sake. And if you notice over the past two seasons, they have been signing a lot of attackers, which has kind of led to the squad being unbalanced. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's down to them trying to maybe improve the brand, because we have a new stadium. They are trying to make the club go global, and you have these critics of Aleti kind of playing some guys called negative boy. I don't know how, what's that, but they are kind of referring to Aleti defending solid, because if, in my opinion, defending is at, and the way Aleti defend, probably for, I would say, from 2012 to about 2016-17, that was amazing. So you kind of have them maybe trying to buy so many attackers to kind of force Cholo to maybe evolve or play in another way, and that is kind of bad, because the way Cholo is evolving is kind of going to a 4-4-2 aggressive press, or an aggressive press that enables the team to not have a lot of the ball, but able to suffocate opponents and win the ball and score back goals. So you have a set of players that are that suit or that needs the ball to survive, and but you have a coach that has a different ideology, and in my opinion, that has been the reason for Atleti's demise in the last three seasons. Despite the fact that we won the league, and everybody, I'm sure everybody was shocked, because I myself did not consider us winning the league. I just say, well, as Atleti, we always challenge, but that was kind of a surprise. And the board have really let Cholo down. And after the Real Madrid game, we saw the images from his press conference. It was like, wow, he's tired. It was like you have somebody who has been working in an office for a whole month without rest, and he has, it's like he needs some time off to cool down. But thank God, I pray, well, not thank God, but I pray he doesn't take that time off, because the Atleti we know, or the Atleti most Atleti fans know, is Cholo. And without Cholo, I don't think we see that Atleti.
Yeah, I mean, with Kyle being the CEO of the club, I don't see the situation changing. I mean, I hope I'm proven wrong, but I just don't see it happening. I really hope, Simeone sticks around until, of course, we did talk about Kyle thinking about selling the club, but it won't happen very soon. It'll happen after the Sporting City has been completed, which will take about 3 years. I really hope that Simeone sticks around until the new ownership comes in, and maybe they back him up properly. But he does seem exhausted at the moment, and I don't want to start talking about the potential consequences of Simeone leaving or who would replace him, because I know Gil isn't going to do a very good job at that. I don't want to talk about that right now. Let's go back to the PK thing. I agree that, Atleti have gotten a lot of, stopgap signings already in the last few seasons, and another one wouldn't really be. I don't like it very much. And obviously, Atleti need two center backs next summer. You talked about the Leicester center back Atleti are linked with. There's also Nahuen, who's available to buy back for just 10 million. Obviously, Felipe leaving would free up a non-EU space for him. I think Simeone wants Lino back. That needs another EU spot. But that will be available if Cunha is able to get a Spanish passport. And he will be eligible to get one next summer. So, yeah, hopefully we do see both of those players in the squad next season. Nahuen and another center back would be great. And I think that would be enough for Atletico Madrid in the summer. Until then, in January, a stopgap signing would be nice if maybe it's on loan or, maybe if one of the players that would be free in the summer after that, if Atleti could go for him and get him for a low fee, maybe Ndika, for example, that would be amazing, and it'll be absolutely perfect, but we know it probably won't happen. So, yeah, the bottom line is PK, I think he would be a decent signing if he's on low wages, it's for free, and he agrees a short contract. If any of those conditions aren't met, then we know it'll cause problems in the future. I think that's all to discuss today. Emmanuel, would you like to add anything?
Well, I would like to say, hopefully, like I said, if you can shit house our way to sign this man, then that's fantastic. And hopefully, the club can have a long-term planning. Like you just said, in Zika, just a good recruitment planner so that everything can be good. To be honest, because I don't know, the recent performances, despite the result, have given me a lot of optimism. And I just want to ride on that positivity, maybe from now on to the World Cup, and then after that, and we see what happens.
Oh, hey. We saw Emmanuel transform from Nietzsche last time into a very positive person right now. I can't think of any positive philosophers right now. So, yeah, we'll stick to Nietzsche. Anyway, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much, Emmanuel, for joining me.
But that is always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure discussing Aleti with you. And it was nice talking about the team, feeling positive in a long while.
And of course, thank you guys for staying with us. Remember, no cadejas de creer, and see you in the next episode.